Okay, ready? You remember how to podcast?
Yeah, I think so. I just go like this, right?
That's so horrible.
No, you keep your hand as still as physically humanly possible.
Hello, everybody, and welcome
to Ghoul Society.
That's my little sister, Sarah.
And that's my big sister, Jamie.
We are grateful to be recording on the unceded stolen territories of the Songhees and Esquimalt First Nations and the Lekwungen and Wasanich peoples whose historical relations with the land continue to this day. As uninvited guests on this land, we are committed to disrupting racism and colonial violence within ourselves, our families, and our communities. By listening to this podcast, you've officially been inducted into the Ghoul Society. Holy moly.
What up, everybody?
I couldn't even breathe through that paragraph.
Jamie's just always freaking sick.
Bruh, I don't know. Also, welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back. It's been a month and a half. Probably.
I actually don't even know.
Sorry.
It's bad. We've been slacking.
Sorry.
We know. You know.
That's why I put out my video.
Yeah.
Saying that we would be back after our vacationitis.
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 Hiatus.
Vacationitis.
I thought you meant like a disease, like vacationitis.
That too, because going back to work after vacation sucks.
Yeah, it actually is really hard.
Like, what the fuck?
Almost like we shouldn't be working.
Almost like we should just travel.
Almost like there should be universal basic income.
Ooh.
Crazy, I know. She said it. What? She's a socialist?
What? Anyway, guys, so
what's up? We're so back. Guess what, guys? I'm a runner now.
Last night, Jamie texted me. She's like, "So, do you take your phone on your runs?" I was like, "I just put it in my vest."
Okay, you want to hear what I do with my phone? I hold it in my hand.
Yeah, a lot of people do that.
No, it sucks.
Yeah, I know. A
it's
lot of
horrible.
People. I know it's horrible. A lot of people do that, though.
What I would love, even though I hate it, I don't want it, but I do want it. It would be nice to have a watch that I can listen to music on, that tracks me via GPS. Fine, whatever, track me. And that tells
safety
me my health stats.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would be really nice.
Mm-hmm. Did your Fitbit not do that?
It gave me my, like, pulse. And it only tracked it if I had my phone. Like, it doesn't have... The one that I had didn't have
Fitbit
GPS.
Fitbit doesn't do that.
I mean, the new ones might. It's old.
Oh.
It's really old at this point. It's maybe worth, like, $50.
Oh.
Yeah. And
I
it
see.
Definitely could not play music.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so I'm kind of like... I want something that I can go on without my phone. But then I'm like, maybe I just get a running vest and I just put everything in my running vest and then I don't even need a watch.
Also, the watches with GPS are like a bazillion dollars more than the watches without GPS.
Yeah. I was looking on Marketplace, to be honest.
Oh.
Yeah.
Smart.
But a lot of people are just getting rid of their like old ones mm-hmm. that don't even have updates anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, I'm not going to get one of those. Like, that's dumb. I saw one that was posted and then it was like gone and I was like, wait, did this get sold or taken down? Like, this is really annoying. Anyways, so I'm a runner now and guess what? I have an idea.
What?
I'm gonna sign up for the Teethik 10K.
Uh-huh.
And the Oak Bay Half Marathon.
You're gonna do the half?
And so are you. It's next year. Because it just happened on Sunday, so
yeah,
it's next year.
Yeah, I know it's next year, girl. Yeah. I said I would never run more than 15 kilometers.
Why?
Why the fuck would I run a half marathon?
Why would you run 10 kilometers?
Because I wanted to prove I could do it. And I hated it.
Yeah,
it
and that's the same sucked. Answer.
It sucked.
You just need to go slower.
I was going slow. Yeah. I almost died. Not yeah. actually, but it was pretty freaking warm.
Yeah.
Running, like, the heat really affects me. Running in me the too. Heat, I can't, like, fucks yeah. me up.
I know, me too.
You think I can run a half marathon?
Yep. I do, actually.
How many kilometers is that again?
21.
21.
I don't know.
2 10K plus an extra kilometer? That's how my brain maths it out.
Yeah. Or it's 22. I don't remember, actually. I was in the car with my friend today after work. She was telling me about how she did the Oak Bay Half Marathon and the Royal whatever one marathon. Anyways.
Royal Victoria.
Yeah. She said that she preferred the Oak Bay one. And then she also was like... Yeah, blah, blah, blah. I really liked it. And I was like, yeah, I'm thinking about doing it. She was like, let's do it together. And I was like, great, I'll ask my sister too.
Damn, what, she liked the, really? She liked the Oak Bay one more?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. She just said she had more fun.
There's so many hills. Like yeah. so many hills. It's a lot.
What do they go up? What's the hilliest hill?
So you start at Windsor Park.
Yeah.
You go like, I don't even know. You go.
I think you go.
You go yeah. here and then you go boop, boop, boop. Then you go up. So going up to the golf course fucking sucks ass.
Yeah.
That's the part of the, I had to run that part for my relay last year. Then you go down and then you go up and then you turn around, boink, and then you go back down, and then you have to go back up from the marina to the golf course, and then you go down, and then I think, like, this is a hill, so you have to go up this hill and then back.
Oh, see, she told me that the second half of it is the TC 10K route.
That would be the Royal Victoria Marathon.
I see.
Over here.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not the Oak Bay. That's...
Well, let's do it.
No, thank you.
Okay, let's do the... What about the Royal one?
I'll do the AK again. Or I would do the 10K. I'm not doing a... There's no way...
Okay, think about
that
it.
...that I could train for a half marathon starting right now.
It's a year away.
It's in October.
No.
The Royal Victoria Marathon is in October.
Oh, yeah,
true. I ran the 8K last year.
Oh, right. Okay, the Oak Bay one just happened. I see.
And the TC 10K just happened.
Okay. Listen. It's fine. Anyway, hey, everyone. Sorry, we're back. We didn't go anywhere unless you skipped. Hi, welcome back. Yeah, so maybe Sarah will go on a half marathon run with me. Maybe she won't. Maybe I'll convince her. Maybe I won't. That's my life.
Great.
Yeah. Are you ready to tell me a story?
Yeah. Or you better freaking buckle up, kids.
Okay.
You better freaking buckle up because you know what we're talking about today?
Ghosts?
Nope.
No.
Guess again.
Why are you so pleased with yourself?
Because I haven't done one yet. Done this.
Oh. Yet. You haven't done a case like this?
No.
A disappearance?
Yep.
Oh, fucking Sarah, why? Why do you always do this?
Why do I always do it?
An unsolved disappearance?
Yeah.
Okay, let me cook on this for a bit. What season does it happen in? I want to guess what unsolved disappearance it is.
I don't think you know.
What?
It's 2010. It's August. I'm 9 years old.
Oh, scary. Jump scare. You were 9 in 2010?
In August, yes.
Oh, right. Okay. I don't know. Tell me. The is it children?
Please no. Don't.
Okay, good. Fucking
no,
God.
No, it's an adult.
Just one?
Yeah.
A girl?
No.
Okay. Tell me everything.
Okay. You asked.
A guy.
Yeah.
And let me guess, his car is found in the middle of the road. And he's nowhere to be seen.
Well, his car is found.
Yes, the aliens.
No, no.
Is it solved?
No.
Okay, sorry. You can talk now.
On August 20th, 2010, employees of a dive shop at Vortex Spring, a commercial dive park near Ponce de Leon in Florida, USA, recognized a pickup truck that had not been moved from their parking lot for 2 days, and it belonged to 30-year-old Ben McDaniel. Ponce de Leon is located on the traditional indigenous nations of the Chatut and Muscogee peoples. And for thousands of years, they've used this area for hunting, fishing. This kind of area is like natural springs, swamp, and woods.
Mm.
So it's a bunch of different ecosystems.
Nice.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Ben McDaniel had been living at his parents' beach house on the Emerald Coast and frequently visited Vortex Spring, as in he went there like he was going there like every day. On August 18th, two employees were the last people to see him alive as he was completing a dive through a cave 58 feet below the water surface. Oh. Who is Ben McDaniel?
Is this an underwater story?
Yep.
Sorry. Literally last night, I was watching Pirates of the Caribbean number 2 with my bestie.
Yeah.
Via the internet. And then I like paused it for a second and I was like, wait a second. Is the pressure underwater because of the weight of the water? And it kind of actually is.
Oh.
Yeah. Isn't that insane?
You looked it up?
No, I just asked them. They're smart. They're a science-y person.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Isn't that crazy, though? Anyway, and then I was just getting existential about, like, the ocean and the deep, deep ocean.
Yeah.
It's too scary.
It is scary.
Scarier than space.
No.
Yes.
No.
This is what we were talking space. About. Yeah.
You think...
Some people think space is scarier.
Diving in the ocean is scarier than floating off in space into a black hole.
Okay.
Think about that.
That is really scary, but... Okay, like, you can't really compare it, because here's the thing. You will never have the opportunity to float off into space.
Yeah, I know.
But you will have the opportunity to dive.
And I will say, no, thank you. I will stay on the surface.
Yeah, that's fair.
Thank you very much. So, who is Ben McDaniel? He was born on April 15th, 1980, to Shelby and Patty McDaniel. Ben, the oldest of three, had a normal upbringing and life. He was the kind of kid who held his mom's hand until the other kids made fun of him and who learned to play the piano to sing for his mom at Christmas time. Aww.
My child can always hold my hand no matter how old they are.
Yeah. The McDaniels took family vacations to go rock climbing or spend time at the beach where Ben learned to fish. He always said he would build or buy a home right on the water, so it was always close by. When he was only 15 years old, Ben began scuba diving and would even test his own tanks in the family pool. And so this was his most favorite hobby. It wasn't until the late 2000s when he had to rebuild his life after his construction business failed, leaving him with thousands of dollars in tax debts.
Oh, fuck.
And his then-wife had filed for divorce.
Oh, yikes.
Additionally, during this time, Ben and his parents were grieving his younger brother, Paul, who died in 2008.
Mm.
Ben was actually the one who found Paul unconscious in his home and attempted CPR. However, it was later revealed that Paul's cause of death was a drug overdose.
No, that's so sad.
They had initially thought it was a stroke.
Yeah.
Because of this hardship, Ben's parents suggested that he live at the family's beach home in Florida for a while to process and come to terms with his new life.
kind of like a sabbatical. Mm-hmm. And his parents were like, we'll financially support you. You need time.
Nice.
By this time, good parents. Yeah. By this time in April of 2010, Ben's parents and then girlfriend noted that his move was proving to be very beneficial for Ben's mental health.
Beneficial.
Nice. And that he was beginning to take steps in moving forward onto new things for himself. The sabbatical also allowed Ben to revisit his all-time favorite hobby of scuba diving, which was why on August 20th, he was at Vortex Spring. And I'm going to show you an underwater map of Vortex Spring. Okay. Or actually, no. Actually,
is there vortexes? Vortexi?
No.
Vortices?
Actually, I'm going to show you an above picture of Vortex Spring.
Show me, 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 show me.
It looks like this.
Vortex Springer. I hardly know her.
Okay.
Okay, that actually looks crazy.
Yeah, hey.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Are those houses on the sides? And on that dock?
No, I think that's like the dive shop.
Oh, I see.
Or like, whoa. Like people go there and swim whoa. Hang out. And then you can also go diving.
I don't know if I would actually swim in that.
Yeah.
It looks a little scary.
It's only $10.
To go swimming in it?
Mm-hmm.
Who owns it? What do you mean it's $10? To use the dock?
No, like Vortex Springs is like someone owns that area.
Listen.
That company.
You can't actually own.
It's a recreation area. It's 500 acres. Oh. And it has 32 million gallons of fresh water.
Holy butts, that's a lot.
It's a waterway. It's like a natural, but someone owns it.
Boo. Anyway,
yeah. So Vortex Spring is fed by the Floridian aquifer system. And it maintains clear waters with a temperature of around 20 degrees Celsius. Hmm. So it's perfect for diving and swimming. The company, Vortex Springs, offers diving instructions for all levels, and divers are required to show their open water certificate to employees and sign a liability release before they're able to dive into the cave system. The main attraction at Vortex Spring for experienced divers is the main cavern, which begins at 58 feet below the water surface, but really experienced divers go to the spring for the cave, which is 300 feet from the cavern. Can you imagine that? All that's under that.
Ugh. That's too much. I don't like caves, and I hate underwater caves.
Yeah.
Like,
so
I had some friends that used to go caving, and I was just like, absolutely not. And they were like on the cave rescue team. I would never cave.
No. But, so there's quite a big difference in skills are required to dive in the various areas of this one area, like a Vortex Spring. They have like the cavern, so it's just like big diving is fun, and then there's the cave, and it's like you might die. You know.
Yeah.
While Vortex Spring is natural, the cave itself is partially man-made, as it had been excavated by the original owners of the spring in the 70s, I think.
What?
Yeah. And apparently a pipe was even installed to take out a lot of the sediment to keep the water as clear as possible, because whoa. You know, they got to make that bank.
Yeah, interesting.
Mm-hmm. That being said, the cave didn't originally have a lot of very tight crevices, nooks and crannies throughout it like most natural caves do, but it still contains a lot of tight passages, as in like 10 inches.
I'm actually gonna puke if you say that again. 10 inches is not even as long as a Subway sandwich.
No, like tall, like yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, they are. They're like 11 now. Subway lies.
True. That is true.
Right at the entrance of this cave, you'll find not only a rebar gate that is locked.
Whoa.
And you need a key to get into it.
That's good.
You'll also see a metal sign with our BFF, the Grim Reaper, on it. These signs, what? You've probably seen them before. They're very common within the diving community.
Oh, okay.
Especially in small cave diving areas. And the sign reads, "Stop. Prevent your death. Go no further." Fact. More than 300 divers, including open water scuba instructors, have died in caves just like this one. Fact. You need training to dive. You need cave training and cave equipment to cave dive. Fact. True. Without cave training and cave equipment, divers can die here. Fact.
True.
It can happen to you. There is nothing in this cave worth dying for. Do not go beyond this point.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So I love that. There is nothing in this cave worth dying for. Honestly.
Yeah.
You know what? Fucking facts.
Facts.
True.
Yeah.
That is true, because there's not. So.
Yeah. This specific cave within Vortex Spring continuously narrows after the entrance for 300 feet until you reach the gate that I mentioned. And in order to get the key for the gate,
wait, so there's the cave is open but then narrows to another, to a gate,
yeah,
to go further.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like cavern and then the start of the cave.
Got it.
To go past this gate, you need the key. Where do you get the key? The dive shop. You can only get the key from the employees at the dive shop when you have provided proof of your cave diving certification.
Mm.
And there are many different levels of certifications that you can get for cave diving, and there are a lot of organizations that you can be certified through over the world, like throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
Each organization follows tiered zones/levels of diving, but there are some small differences.
Hmm.
For example, the World Underwater Federation, formed in Monaco, has their Zone 1 course as, quote, Cave Diver 1, end quote. Whereas many other organizations, such as the National Association for Cave Diving and the National Association of Underwater Instructors in the USA, have Zone 1 course as, quote, Cavern Diver, end quote.
Interesting.
So, Cave Diver 1 and Cavern Diver, big difference here.
Right.
What's the difference between a cave and a cavern, you might be asking yourself, because I thought the exact same thing.
I'm asking.
A cave is an open cavity or chamber in the earth with some kind of open entrance and is large enough for humans to access, but at least some part of the cave is coated in darkness as direct natural light does not reach all points of it.
Mm.
A cavern is a type of cave that is made up of a system of natural chambers in the earth connected by small passages.
Mm.
In caverns, direct natural light is always visible, and you can always see the surface or entrance of the cave. So, all caverns are caves, but not all caves are caverns.
Okay, I'm just trying to wrap my head around how you can always see the entrance in a cavern.
Because they're just big rooms.
Oh.
Think of a cavern.
But it can have narrow areas to bigger areas. They have
So a cavern can have passages to other caverns or caves.
I see. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. But a cave is, total darkness.
Gross.
Well, yeah. But a cavern is, it's so pretty in here. Look at the fish. I don't know. So now that we know what a cave and a cavern are,
I'm not going to sleep tonight.
Nope.
Because sometimes I just start thinking about that guy and that upside down
the putty.
Nutty
putty.
And then I can't sleep.
Yeah. While I was researching this, actually, I found out that in Greece, literally last weekend, there was a group of divers that died in a cave.
awesome.
And I was like, oh.
Not awesome, oh. Obviously. Yeah, scary.
And they were trying to get their bodies.
Oh, really? Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Cape rescues are crazy.
Yeah.
Because what do you mean you're going to...
Risk your own life to get a body out?
Yeah.
I know. That's
bonkers.
I don't really... Yeah. If it's an easy one, go for it. Mm-hmm. But, like, most of them aren't.
No.
Because they died for a reason. Like, yeah. It's not going to be easy.
So, back to Vortex Spring. Mm-hmm. In order to get access to the cave behind the gate, you must have your cave diving certificate, which in many reports from the U.S. is acquired from completing over 100 dives with an instructor.
Mm.
And this policy was actually only instated during the late 1990s after 13 people died in the cave.
Oh.
Because they weren't experienced and they got stuck. Yeah. And they got what's called diver's panic.
Oh.
So that you like kind of are like, oh, I think I'm getting stuck. And then you freak out and then you flail your body around and then you drown.
What? How do you drown? Because you're like flailing?
Yeah, and a lot of the times...
Because, like, your thing comes out of your mouth, or, well, like...
So, a lot of the times in really, like, when you're cave diving, if you're going through really tiny passages, you have to take off your...
Yeah.
You take off your tank, right?
Yeah.
And you can still have your respirator in your mouth, but sometimes you have to take it out, I think, and, like, hold your breath and, you know.
That's fucked up. Dude, fear unlocked. Cave
divers are like
kind of fucked up. No offense, yeah. If you do this, no offense, but
yeah,
maybe get a different hobby. Have you tried knitting perchance? Yeah. And just watching diving,
right? So once divers are through the locked gate, there's over 1,600 feet of passages that have been mapped, and it's said that the extent of this cave is still unknown.
Ugh, creepy.
Because of the how tiny the passages can get in certain areas.
Whoa. Yeah. You ever just think about how, like, the earth is actually not solid under us at all?
Yes. I thought of that when I was making this. Yeah. Because what do you mean there's just caves under this ground?
Yeah, everywhere.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty freaking crazy. What we do know is that there are various points within these passages that the bedrock narrows. Jamie, close your ears. To only 10 inches. Which forces divers to remove their tanks and push them ahead before they squeeze themselves through the passageways. And okay. Yeah, I don't understand why you would want to do that. Because you have to turn your head sideways. You literally have to turn your head sideways to squeeze through these passages. And you're wearing, well, most people are. Why would
you turn your head? Oh, like this?
Like, this is the passage. This is 10, like.
Yeah. I don't think my boobies would fit.
The same.
Or my butt.
Right?
You gotta be a skinny little bitch to fit through that.
Yeah, but Ben wasn't.
Oh.
So.
He was buff?
Well, he was like,
just an average guy.
I think he was like 6'1", 2 some.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn.
You know. Oh, I can show you a picture of him.
Okay. Hey. I'm sorry that you died.
Well, did he?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, of course he did. What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. Did he? Let's find
out. Where would he have gone?
Let's find out.
Okay.
By the middle of August in 2010, Ben had actually visited his parents and girlfriend in Tennessee, who said that he seemed to be on the ups and was optimistic about the future. Like I said earlier, his sabbatical was helping his mental health a lot, and he said that he was working towards getting certified as a diving instructor and was looking to get fully certified in cave diving, as in he wasn't cave diving certified.
Oh.
Even telling his girlfriend of a plan he wanted to start his own diving-related business of some kind. And when Ben left Tennessee, he left a thank you note for his parents, thanking them for especially letting him use their house in Florida and financially supporting him during his sabbatical.
Okay, I'm ruling out suicide.
Unfortunately, Ben's parents and his girlfriend would never see him again.
Oh, that's so sad. Really sad. I'm ruling out suicide, by the way.
Okay.
And I'm ruling out, like, running away and starting a new life.
Okay. A few days after he returned to the beach house, he completed a dive at Vortex Spring. Other divers around Vortex Spring at this time noted that Ben was looking around the cave entrance down in the water, almost like he was contemplating something. And some articles said that employees saw evidence of the gate being tampered with.
Oh.
Like someone was attempting to get through it without the key.
Bad idea, Ben.
Yeah.
Remember the facts. No cave is worth dying for.
Exactly. Many employees thought that Ben would have been the one to tamper with the gate, since he didn't actually have his diving certification, and they knew that he didn't. They knew. Because right. He went there almost every day. And he would be there all day diving.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Like multiple dives a day. Yeah.
Damn. That guy's a fish. Mm-hmm. Maybe he turned into a fish.
Maybe. That's a good theory. Merman. I've never seen that. I didn't see that theory on Reddit, so.
Wow, Reddit? Freaking get it together.
It. Yeah.
Jeesh.
I think it was on, or it would have been August 18th. Ben had done a few dives and he was finished for the day. He was filling his oxygen tanks at the dive shop and he spent some time on the grounds of the spring testing his equipment and writing in his dive log book. And so Ben spent the whole day here. He was hanging out, you know, blah, blah, blah. The employees are like, hey, Ben, what up, bro? And it's nearing the evening hours, like when Vortex Spring technically closes, but people can pay to go diving at night when the dive shop is closed, if they have their own equipment.
There's nothing, you know, what's worse than diving is diving at night.
Oh, yeah, I know, with your little freaking headlamp.
Dude, sometimes I watch those, like, underwater welders or, like, the deep, deep sea fucking whatever engineers.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to stay in those dive bells and they have to, have helium.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we're going to kind of get into mixed gases a little bit.
Okay, great. Anyway, I could never. Yeah, you could not pay me enough.
Right. It's the evening hours, and Ben was preparing for his last dive of the day. Before he went down, he called his mom around 7:30. It's 7:30 p.m.
What? I
mean, it's 7:30.
Right now.
That's so late.
Oh.
Oh, it's also 7:30.
Is that what you meant?
No.
7:30 is not late to call your mom.
It's late for diving.
Oh, for diving. Yes.
Anyway, so Ben leaves his mom a voicemail. And that would be the last voicemail he would leave.
What did he say?
He was, I don't know, actually. I think he was just like,
hi, Mom. I'm going diving.
I hope you have a good day. I'm going back down into the water for one last dive. I love you. Bye.
Fuck. It's always one last dive, isn't it?
Yeah. So, Ben goes down, blomp, blomp, blomp. He's going down, and then there was actually two employees of the dive shop who, every week on Wednesdays, they go diving after their shift. So they were down there.
I do pottery on Wednesdays after my shift.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. It's a bit different.
Yeah. I want to do pottery. Anyway, so there's these two employees, Chuck and Eduardo. They go diving every Wednesday. They usually see Ben when they're down there because Ben would always go late at night as well.
Mm.
And so Chuck and Eduardo were surfacing from a dive when they saw Ben descending with his lights on. So they're going up, Ben's going down.
Yeah.
On this specific evening, Ben was wearing a helmet when Chuck and Eduardo saw him going down, suggesting he was going to go to the cave entrance. So kind of like, they're like, Ben's wearing his helmet. What are you up to?
Because, like, you would only wear your helmet in the caves.
If you were going caving.
Okay. Well, did they find the gate open?
Well, since the two were on their way up
and Ben was going down, and they were like, well, Ben's probably the one that's been tampering with the gate. One of the employees, supposedly it was Eduardo, decided to swim down with Ben, and he unlocked the gate of the cave.
Why?
For Ben.
Why?
I don't know.
Why would he do that?
I guess they just didn't want him to break in. They were like, well, if you're going to go in, I might as well just let you in.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Can they talk to each other in the water or no?
Okay. Actually.
Are there comms?
Okay, yeah. So I'll show you now an underwater photo of the cave.
Uh-oh.
This is the cave.
Oh. It's not a real underwater photo. It's a diagram. It's a diagram.
Okay. Okay, so cavern. This is the cavern, right? This is the cave.
Got it.
This is the gate. All the way down there.
Whoa.
And so you can go up this passage in there. You can go that passage in there. You can go this passage in there.
Damn, you have to go far to get to the gate.
Yeah.
I thought it was like at the front, at the beginning of the cavern, but no.
So when you get into the spring, there's this little tiny thing. It's called a talk box. What's a talk box?
You talk.
It's a box underwater that has an air pocket in it so you can take your respirator out and talk to people.
I love that. It's like a dive bell.
Yeah. So that would have been the only place that they would have been able to talk to Ben, but they didn't talk to Ben.
Okay.
To answer your question. But I thought the talk box was pretty freaking cool.
I like that. Yeah. It's like in Pirates of the Caribbean when they have the boat upside down.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing.
That's my dream to try. I'm going to try this summer.
With what?
With your boat that you just have?
A canoe? Like? I don't know. Or you just could borrow someone's canoe?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I don't know where I would try it. The problem is you would just float. Yeah. Like, I don't understand how you walk on the... Like, you would need weights.
Yeah.
Because your body would float, but also the canoe would float up. But I don't know. I'm going to figure it out.
Okay.
Maybe I'll do it with, like, an ice cream bucket. Okay. I'll let you know if it all goes wrong. I'm going to drown. No.
Please don't. Oh, my God.
I don't want to drown this summer. Anyways, okay.
So often when Chuck and Eduardo saw Ben diving late at night, they would actually hang out at the spring until they would see bubbles coming up to the surface to indicate that he was starting to decompress in order to safely resurface.
Good.
However, on this night of August 18th, 2010, they didn't stay at the spring, but they instead went to Eduardo's house for a late night coffee.
You know, it's fair, but I think you should always wait to see if the people are alive.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really their job.
No.
They just did it because they were like,
yeah,
Ben.
Yeah, I get it. I'm not blaming them at all.
So on the morning of August 19th, Ben's truck was in the same parking stall at Vortex Spring, but it was a really busy day and no one really paid attention until August 20th when they noticed the truck and determined that none of the employees or regulars at the spring had seen Ben. Because they were just like,
right,
you know, Ben's truck was there. They're just like, oh, Ben's here, you know?
Right.
And
he's
then
diving.
And then on the 20th, they were like, Ben's truck hasn't moved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit.
So they called the sheriff's office and reported Ben missing. As soon as the sheriffs arrived, the spring was cordoned off with crime scene tape. Ooh. Ben's diving equipment was not found near the spring or his truck, and there was no signs of a struggle in the parking lot.
Okay.
In his truck, they found his wallet, which had like $1,000 cash in it.
Holy fucking, don't leave that in your truck while you go diving at night.
Where is he supposed to leave it? He's going diving.
In his house.
Yeah, but you need your license to drive. He has to pay to use the diving stuff.
You don't need $1,000 cash in your wallet. This is not the 60s. This is 2010.
So they find his wallet, cell phone, dive logs, and a map that Ben had made himself of the cave in his truck. At the same time that his truck was
being searched, a group of officers were sent to the beach house where Ben was staying. Here they found his dog, who was unharmed but hungry and scared from being alone for 2 days.
Baby.
And with the circumstances, it seemed to them that Ben planned to return home.
Yeah.
You know, his stuff was in his truck, his dog was at home.
That's what I'm thinking.
But he didn't resurface after going down on August 18th.
So go find him.
So the police in Vortex Spring employees assumed at this point that Ben drowned somewhere within the cave, either when he was exploring the cave system or when he was trying to leave. Apparently, they brought in cadaver dogs and they alerted along the surface of the spring to indicate that there was a dead body nearby. As we know, during the decomposition process, bodies release a distinctive scent that can actually be carried through the oxygen particles in water by the current. We also know that these pups can sometimes falsely alert.
Yeah, and also, sorry, they're dogs? They're not going down into the cave.
No.
Where they alert on the dead body.
They alert on the surface.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's too far. It's not gonna work.
Well, the water...
I guess it would carry, like, the bubbles up to the surface.
Yeah, so... Yeah, well, and also, later on in the investigation, like, investigators would have the water tested on multiple different occasions to look for anomalies, to be like, oh, like, there's decomposition happening in this water.
Right.
And they didn't find that.
Huh.
Yeah.
And the dive... Okay, keep telling me the story.
Okay. So as soon as Ben was reported missing, the diving community volunteered for what everyone assumed would be a recovery dive for Ben's body.
Yes, that was going to be my question.
Yeah. Ben's parents and girlfriend were called at this time to observe the recovery operation from the edge of the spring. And this is nice and all, but investigators quickly realized that very few divers held the proper training and certifications to be part of cave recovery.
Oh.
Especially since the cave is so dangerous.
Oh, God. And is anyone around there able to go in there?
Yeah. I mean, their police divers couldn't even go in there.
Fuck.
Which is like...
Yeah, so can anyone even go in?
Yes.
Okay.
Luckily, there were some highly experienced divers who went to Vortex Spring to search for Ben, searching crevices and pathways that Ben may have entered while trying to exit the cave as his oxygen tanks began to run low, which is a common pattern within cave deaths.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just can't find your way out and your oxygen runs out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Oh. That's why you have, that's why they have ropes and stuff that they bring with them.
Yes. That's right.
Multiple different divers searched the cave over the course of the weekend, and one noted that he himself had a near-death experience trying to find Ben's body, or even any trace of him.
Right.
Unfortunately, the only thing that was found were two of Ben's oxygen tanks, but they were both at the entrance to the cave, which was very confusing. Because typically divers place extra tanks along their exit path to ensure they have enough oxygen for their decompression.
Right.
They don't place multiple tanks in one area specifically at the entrance.
But would he know that? Because he wasn't...
You would think because he's so into diving. He's been diving since he was 15.
Right.
He's been diving for 15 years.
True.
So...
He should know. Yeah.
Yeah. As part of the investigation, the tanks found near the cave entrance were tested and contained normal oxygen, not a specialized gas mix, which is required for deep diving to prevent decompression sickness or nitrogen narcosis, which causes you to pass out.
Right.
This was very concerning to the diving community because Ben should have definitely been aware of the necessity of mixed gas for the cave if he was researching cave diving, because obviously he was. He said he wanted to be certified in it. He told his parents he wanted to be an instructor.
Right.
Like, these are things that Ben should know.
And also, I feel like it's not just, like, caves where you need the gas. It's, like, any deep depths. Yeah. So, like,
deep depths and then cave.
I'm sure that he went on deep dives also. So, I'm sure he knew. Maybe he grabbed the wrong tanks or something.
Maybe. But these were his tanks.
Mm.
So, like...
Right. Yeah, weird.
Yeah. Also, because if you think about it, like, the gate is, like, 300 feet down. So, that's already deep. That's
far.
Yeah. You know? So, it's like, I don't know. Like, what's going on?
Because the guy that brought him down to the gate and opened the gate...
Oh, yeah.
Did he get questioned?
Yeah, they questioned them and did polygraphs and they were clear.
So, but what did they say? Hey, why didn't you guys leave tanks along the way?
I don't know. I didn't see that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Interesting. There are some things missing to this investigation.
Yeah. So by the end of the exploration, they actually, in one article I saw, that they found a total of 3 tanks. One was 200 feet inside the cave entrance, and the other two were attached to an area, which was the talk box.
Huh.
So I don't know why they were all the way up there.
Because
that's pretty far away.
Maybe that's to, like, decompress?
Yeah, but why would you need really 2 high. Tanks up here and then 1 here?
Yeah.
That don't make no sense.
True.
You know?
No idea.
Yeah, so that's a little bit weird. But all 3 tanks were only oxygen. So I don't really know why. Pretty crazy. Because I don't think it's that outlandish to think that someone who is so invested in diving wouldn't know that you need mixed gas to dive.
Yeah,
to
do totally. Deep dives. I feel like that's a pretty, like, common knowledge. It must be.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I knew that.
Basic.
Yeah. Like, I knew that you can't just have oxygen that deep.
Yeah,
true. I'm just a girl.
Yeah, just a girl. So. You're an F1 girly.
I'm an F1 girl.
Not a diver.
Yeah, exactly. By the time it was Sunday, August 22nd, there were no other signs of Ben. And it was time to bring in one of the big guns of cave diving recoveries, a man named Ed Sorensen. Ed, originally from Oregon, moved to Florida, where he founded Cave Adventures Dive Center. He's known in the diving community for his many rescues of lost divers in Florida, specifically at Vortex Spring.
Wow.
And one of the state's federal parks called Blue Spring State Park. Ed is considered one of the most experienced recovery divers in North America and the world.
Damn, fucking go off, Ed.
Yeah.
Slay.
Yeah. Ed arrived at Vortex Spring shortly after receiving a call from his wife while he was on a yacht expedition in the Bahamas.
Okay.
He was
She's like, honey, I'm going to need you to come back to Florida from the Bahamas. So sorry, but you need to find this dead guy.
Yeah. At this point in the search efforts, divers and officials with underwater cave rescue and recovery told Ed that the parts of the cave that hadn't been searched were too dangerous to go into.
Fair.
But Ed was persistent completed 3 dives within 1 day in search of any evidence of Ben. It's noted that Ed dove 1,700 feet, which is over 200 feet further than Ben had mapped for himself.
Oh, fuck.
Ed was able to use a small underwater propulsion vehicle, you know, those little...
Yeah. Smart.
And smaller oxygen tanks to increase his search range, but he found...
Scary, though.
Nothing.
Wow.
Nothing. There's no fin, there's no goggle, there's no hose, there's no helmet, nothing.
That's crazy.
It's as if no one was down there.
But, like, if he passed out... Okay, here's the thing. What if he passed out? Everything's on him. It's going to stay on him. It's not going to float off of his body. And then, like, what if his body just got, like, lodged into some... I don't know.
They would have found him.
Really?
Look, show me the diagram again, please.
What if...
Like, these are all mapped. So, like, people go in there every day. People right. go in these areas every
Why
day.
Why does it have, like, the line with a different, like...
The line yeah. is a passageway.
Oh!
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought it was just on the... I thought it was a part of the drawing of the diagram.
No, no, no. Those are passageways into different areas.
Oh, no. And so they checked all of them.
Yeah.
There's a penis-shaped one.
There is.
Huh. So he's not down there. Unless... He went really far.
So, but that's the thing is that I showed you a photo of Ben. He wasn't the teeniest, tiniest man. He was yeah. very average.
Yeah.
Ben was taller and 20 pounds heavier than Ed. And by the end of the day, Ed claimed there was no way Ben would have made it through the smaller passages, especially without cave dive training.
Damn.
Ed is quoted as saying, "The last place I searched was pristine, without a mark that a diver had been there. It would be Whoa. Impossible to go through that restriction without making a mark on the floor or ceiling. He's not in there." End quote.
Fuck.
Because also, like, because the passages, they call them restrictions, because they're so small.
Yeah.
Divers leave drag marks.
Yeah.
In the bedrock.
Yeah. Like in the silt and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. yeah. yeah so yeah. you can tell when other divers have been somewhere.
Right.
So if Ben wasn't in the cave,
where the hell was he?
Where'd he go?
Okay. What about this?
Okay.
He's up in that cavern and then he just goes into a different cave.
I mean,
is there no other caves?
That's the thing.
You said it was unmapped.
Like, part of it is, part of it isn't. I don't
like, what know. If he just got swept away to the ocean?
Yeah, so that is actually a theory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I talk about that soon.
Tell me the theories.
I'm not there yet.
Oh.
At this point, Ben's family was losing hope that they would ever find him, and they decided to hire a man named Steve Keen, who was the first person to actually map out Vortex Spring, like
right.
the main area of Vortex right. Spring.
Yeah, yeah.
Steve completed 7 dives, but similar to Ed, he couldn't find any sign of Ben or any diving equipment, later saying, quote, "If he's in there, I don't know where he'd be," end quote.
Fuck.
Which is pretty crazy.
That's really spooky to hear.
Yeah. Vortex Spring is obviously very deep and vast, but it blows my mind that these insanely experienced cave divers were like, there's not in there. Like, there's no way He's a body could be in there.
Crazy.
There were a total of 16 divers who helped look for Ben's body, and they spent a total of 36 days diving multiple times a day.
Holy shit.
While the dives didn't end here, no one has found any evidence of Ben or his equipment in the cave to this day.
And that was 16 years ago.
Yeah, and think about how many people yeah. dive in there every single day.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's not in there. Something else happened.
Yeah, so that's what a lot of people were like, is Ben even
real
in the cave?
Did he even, maybe he was like, yeah, I don't know about
this. Is he even there?
And then maybe he goes somewhere else.
But no one saw him resurface.
No one was there. It was nighttime.
Yeah, but the security cameras didn't show anyone come out of the water.
But what if he just swam elsewhere? Like, show me a picture of Vortex Spring.
Okay, hold on, because I don't, like, hold on.
I have a thought. I'm surely not the only one to have this thought. Okay.
It's not like he...
But he's probably just swam down there.
Okay, but the diving is only here.
Yeah, but you can swim down the channel.
Yeah, and like get out.
Where does it go? To the ocean?
It like goes around and then it like kind of...
I guess that would be like against the current.
Yeah, like goes down here and then it kind of like goes into a river.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So.
Maybe, but unlikely.
So here's the thing.
Tell me.
Remember that the dive shop employees would often wait to see Ben resurface before heading home, but for some reason, on August 18th, they left.
Yeah.
Okay, I will say they did wait for Ben for some time, and then they were finally like, fuck, I don't know what he's doing. Let's leave. You know?
They weren't worried. It wasn't long enough for no. them to be worried, I guess.
No.
Yeah, okay.
So some people began to speculate that Ben's body had actually been found by dive shop employees and it was removed from the cave.
What?
Or that it was washed out to a larger body of water through one of the spring's outlets.
So there is an outlet?
Yes.
Where he just went through the outlet?
He could have, but...
Like a giant pipe kind of vibe or like...
Hold on.
Okay.
So the owners of Vortex Spring at this time suspected that Ben actually staged his disappearance to begin his life over under new name to escape his past problems. But yep. Ben seemed to really be heading in a positive direction, so why would he do that?
He wouldn't leave his dog at home.
Right? That's what I'm saying. Right? So investigators brought back the cadaver dogs and searched the wooded areas around the spring without any hits. But ground search efforts didn't stop there. So they had a helicopter that flew along the swamplands and followed the spring's outflow to Blue and Sandy Creeks all the way to the Chocowatchee River, which empties into the ocean.
Hmm.
This river is 220 kilometers long. And has various forks. It goes brown, brown, brown all over the place before it goes to the ocean. So it's like...
Hmm.
And also, these water outlets from the spring are very shallow. They would have seen a body.
Oh, okay. So they're not, like, underwater water outlets.
Not, like, there are some spots, but not... It's not, like, one huge water basin going down to the ocean.
Yeah. Hmm. Hmm.
Yeah. So, and officials tested multiple areas in the water... Like, they tested the water for decomp bacteria, and they couldn't find any. Anywhere. There's no decomp bacteria anywhere in these waters.
That's crazy.
Not in these waters.
Maybe he just never existed. Sorry.
So, Ben's parents put up a $10,000 reward raised from a benefit that was held on Ben's
30th... A benefit.
They did call it a benefit.
Yeah. Aw.
They held it on Ben's 31st birthday and because they still believe that his body was in that cave.
Mm.
By this time,
it's... Why didn't they believe the, like, divers who were... I mean, I guess you just are hopeful. Yeah,
well, they did bring a camera down with them and, like, Ben's parents watched some of these dives happen in real time.
That would be horrible.
Yeah.
That would be so horrible to watch.
Yeah. So, by this time, there's a $10,000 reward. Look, it's 2011. It's 2012. The reward is now up to $30,000.
To find just his body?
Yeah.
Wow.
They couldn't find it.
Fuck.
In 2011,
so sad.
Ben's parents actually hired a private investigator because they thought it was possible that one of the dive shop employees found Ben's body.
Right.
Or he died... due to foul play, and they wanted to cover it up and feared the consequences of having the body found at the dive shop.
Right.
So the private investigator found, this was kind of annoying that I found in my research anyway. They were like, some of the employees at the dive shop have criminal records.
Oh, well.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
What the fuck so does what? That mean? Dive shop employees did say, though, that there was a really, really drunk man who came into the shop on the night that Ben went missing. And he was like, I want to go diving in the spring. And they were like, no.
Okay.
On that same day, it said that an employee of the dive shop also had a confrontation with some teenagers who were drinking on the property. And some people were like, maybe the teenagers wanted to get revenge on the dive shop by killing this man. I don't know. People were getting a little crazy with their theories.
Teens aren't that crazy unless they're just bad.
But yeah. So now,
I guess
we're in 2012.
Okay.
It's like almost 2 years. Yeah,
because didn't you say also like a little bit before that part, you were also talking about how like they thought that maybe he did die and the dive shop did find the body?
Yeah. His parents were like, that could have happened.
And maybe they covered it up.
Yeah. But like they gave, the dive shop supposedly did give like their CCTV footage though, and they didn't see anything. So.
And I'm sure the cops like checked
all of these
everywhere
things.
yeah, and like the whole area.
Yeah,
like where are they gonna put a body?
I don't know.
Okay.
And his gear too, because it's like,
yeah, everything,
everyone has specific things, you know.
Yeah.
So in March of 2012, another diver, his name is Larry Higginbotham, he died in the cave at Vortex Spring because he couldn't find his way out.
Hate that.
Luckily, his body was recovered, but many people believe that Larry had gone down in search of Ben.
No.
So that was quite sad.
That's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Ed Sorensen, who was the diver to find Larry's body, said that he was near, quote, a restriction so small that no one could get through it, end quote. Oof. In the following months, Ben's parents actually took back the offered reward because they thought that it was just endangering people's lives.
Yeah. Because some people are going to be like, I could use 30 grand and I'm like good at diving. Yeah. Good enough.
And Ed said that too. He said, quote, not only did it endanger the lives of people who would risk going farther than they should, it put all of our lives at risk because we have to go in to recover the bodies, end quote.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds like the family maybe isn't getting along with Ed all that well, unfortunately.
Yeah. At this time, Ben's parents began to believe that if Ben didn't die in the cave, he was murdered. So.
Okay. I mean, that's fair to guess.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's really fair.
Patty McDaniel, Ben's mom, didn't believe he had any intention of abandoning his life, further saying that Ben had seen the impact that his brother Paul's death had on his parents, and Ben wouldn't have done that to them.
Yeah.
Much like he wouldn't have left his dog.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Vortex Spring continues to be a popular dive spot and hangout for people within the area, but the McDaniels miss their son and they want him home. As time has passed, a memorial was held for Ben, and friends and family got some physical mementos together to put in a suitcase, which is buried beside his brother, Paul. Investigators continue to be perplexed by Ben's disappearance, and I believe that his case file is still a missing person.
Yeah.
The dive shop employee, Chuck, that I had mentioned earlier, stated previously that he is 99% sure Ben's body is not in that cave, but he actually continues to look for him on his weekly Wednesday dives in hopes of finding something that would show what happened to him, because he too just wants answers.
Yeah, of course.
As a diver himself, he said that he understands the urge to push further into the restricted area of caves and passages to see what divers have never seen before.
Right.
He said that every time he pushes himself when he's diving, he overcomes the inherent human fear of dark and tight spaces. And when he resurfaces, he kind of feels like a new man. So he's like, I've been reborn. I feel amazing. Like, that's that was so the Freudian. Sickest thing I've ever done.
That's the most Freudian shit I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
You just want to be born out of a vagina over and over and over again. Like, what? Okay.
So it's likely that Ben was chasing the feeling that adrenaline junkies chase when they overcome something like squeezing into a tight passage that's smaller than your own body. For Ben, instead of feeling like he was born again, he likely became stuck somewhere so far down in the cave that no one's been able to find him. Or perhaps he got through a tight space and couldn't turn around.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
That's
know.
That's the thing.
But also, he was a pretty big guy, so
It's tough to say. That
doesn't really make any sense. If Ed couldn't get in, I don't know how Ben could. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and he checked more than what was even mapped out, that Ben had mapped out anyway.
Yeah. There are many theories on Reddit and the internet regarding Ben McDaniel's disappearance, which I briefly discussed earlier. But honestly, someone could do a huge investigation into the exact timeline of Ben's disappearance, and it would cover multiple podcast episodes.
Yeah.
Like, these people on Reddit really be doing the work.
Damn. That's cool.
Whatever happened to Ben, I hope he died quickly. And if he's alive, I hope he's at peace.
Yeah.
But I especially hope that his parents and girlfriend find peace with his disappearance.
Yeah.
And that's what I have on the disappearance of Ben McDaniel.
Wow.
Vortex Spring.
Well, yeah, I really, really feel for the family and I really feel for the girlfriend.
Yeah.
And it sucks when you don't know what has happened to your loved one, especially when it sounds like it should be so simple, kind of.
Like, yeah, it's like he went diving. Let's go find him.
In this small area, essentially. Like, yeah, it's like deep and it has this cave system and blah, blah, blah. But like, he didn't go like diving in the open ocean.
Yeah.
He went diving in this closed off space. So you would think that he would be easily found because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, damn. Crazy. That's so spooky.
Also, I'm going to show you a diving picture. It's not too scary, though.
Okay, thanks.
That's one of the more open passages. Cool. And there's, like, lines and concrete blocks on the ground so that you can pull yourself along the ground. Blah,
blah, blah. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm going to look at pictures of that place.
I don't know if you want to. I was actually watching some videos last night, and I was like, what the actual fuck, bro? Like, you could not pay me $1 million to do that.
No.
Like, absolutely not.
Like, going through the small spaces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely not.
Mm-mm.
Especially when people take off their tanks. I'm like, if you're going to take off your tank, you really shouldn't be going in there. You know what I mean? Like, if you
That's your only connection.
Yeah. Like, if you're diving and you can't fit in with your tank, why are you going in there?
Yeah. Because they want to see the unseen, Sarah. They have the call of the wild in them. It's like mountaineers who want to be like the first one to climb a peak that no one else has, or like take a route that no one else has, you know?
Yeah. But then they just die. Here's someone with the Grim Reaper sign. Pose for the Grim Reaper. It's
such a Scooby-Doo moment.
Yeah.
It's funny. I've been reading the book Into the Wild by John Crocker, which is about Chris McCandless. Do you know about him? He, like, goes into Alaska and he dies in Alaska.
Oh,
and
he's found that in the guy? Bus. Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. The book is kind of, like, pissing me off. I mean, the book is really well done.
Mm-hmm.
Chris is kind of irritating me in the book because he seems very young and very, like, teenage boy.
Oh.
Energy. Even though he's not a teenager, but he's like kind of acting like one and just has that idea of like, I'm going to go into the wilderness and survive and like, I can do it. It just feels a little bit like middle class white boy leaves the city and goes into the woods. But like, he did also spend like 2 years traveling, like backpacking and like not being connected to society and like whatever, but anyways, then near the end of the book, John Krakauer is talking about like his expedition experience where he like almost died, and it's just like so crazy how people just love to put themselves in these positions, like near the brink of death all the time. It's so wild. Not me. You won't see me doing that. You'll maybe see me running a half marathon, though, if my knee will survive.
Yeah.
I have an MRI appointment soon. Whoop, whoop.
Okay, well, catch Jamie at the next half marathon, and I will be on the sidelines
Not
cheering.
At the next one, maybe Go the one Jamie. After that. Well, thanks everybody for listening.
Thanks, we missed you guys.
Yeah, we missed you. Thank you, Sarah, for that lovely story. If you have any comments, questions, critiques, or concerns, you can email us at
ghoulsocietypod@gmail.com.
You can slide into our DMs at
ghoulsocietypod.
That's on Instagram, sorry. You can follow us on TikTok at
ghoul.societypod.
And you can find all of the... what can you find? Resources, content warnings in the description box of each episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And we will try to be regular for the next while.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Chicken, the washer and the chicken washer. That sounded really crazy. Okay. Ready, spaghetti?
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
Can you even hear me? I sound quite quiet.
Yeah, you do sound quiet, but...
It's because I've been talking all fucking day. This is usually my shut up time. I don't talk
shut
to
up.
Anybody.
Shut up. Do you remember that song?
No.
It's called Shut Up. It's, now I need to find it. You must know it. Yeah. You don't remember this?
No.
Shut up.